song to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this week. And we want to get started again in 1 Corinthians. Every week, that's where we start, because every week we remind ourselves and we preach to ourselves the gospel. We should be doing that every day. But when I come to you every week, that's what I always begin with. And this is where you will find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I like to begin in verse 1 because it's what the Apostle Paul did. And it's a good reminder to us of what we should be doing. And then we will find what the gospel is within these same verses, these same passages. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Look at verse 3. Here's what was delivered to them. Here is what was preached to them. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's what I do each week. What I received, I'm delivering to you. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what Paul is declaring. That's what we're told to stand in. That's what we're told to keep in memory. And you know what that gospel is? If we look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So let's go there. Romans 1, chapter 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We just read what that was. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, I want us to turn to Colossians 1. We're actually going to come back to this. Verse 23. So we just saw and heard what the gospel was, and we know it's the power of God unto our salvation. If we look at 23, it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, in that gospel is hope. You know why? Because in that gospel is Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. And there's always hope with him, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. It says, be not moved away from the hope of that gospel. Well, I would like to begin today by asking you a question. And that question would be, have you ever considered, or did you know that there is a hedge around you? There is a hedge around you, and there is a hedge around me. And we have no control over that hedge. You know who controls whether that hedge is let down? The Lord. And so maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe you didn't even know that. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I don't even know what a hedge is. A hedge. We've all seen those hedges of bushes or those hedges of shrubs that maybe you put up, maybe you plant so your neighbors can't see in. As you consider that, I want us to look at Job, and we're going to go to Job chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1. And I may read all this, I may skip through it, we're just going to look and see what we do. Consider what a hedge is, and consider that there is one around you, and there is one around me. And the Lord controls what happens with that hedge. So let's begin in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He's doing pretty good for himself. And we saw that it said he was perfect and upright. Perfect and upright. Has everything going for him. And his sons went out and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it." So the devil, Satan, is talking to the Lord. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan," now look at this, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Do you see what happened in verse 7? The devil is coming up also to the Lord, and he's telling the Lord what he's doing. He's roaming to and fro. Well, we know that says that over in 1 Peter about how the devil is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Well, look here. He's doing it even here, and he's asking for something. He's looking for something. And the Lord says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him?" Satan is asking God, have you not put a hedge around him? He knew he couldn't get to him. He knew he couldn't get to him because there was a hedge around him. There's a hedge around you, and there's a hedge around me also. "Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house?" There was one around his house. "And about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." The devil knows he can't do anything unless God permits it. Unless God lets down that hedge just a little, however far he determines to let that devil get in there. Verse 11, "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And look what the Lord says. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." He told him, you can have everything he has, but you can't have him. I'm not going to let you have him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And that begins a lot of some trials that Job has to walk through. But we saw in verse 10, there was a hedge around Job, and the devil came to the Lord, and the Lord asked him, "What are you doing?" And the devil told him what he was doing. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Did you ever think that the devil is coming today asking for us? If the Lord hasn't changed, do you think that devil's changed? Let's look at that. I wasn't actually going to go here, but let's go there. Actually, let's go to Luke first. Luke 22, verse 31. And this is Peter and the Lord Jesus talking. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You see that the devil also went asking for Peter? But look at verse 32. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Let's look at 1 Peter. This is where I was going to go, but we kind of did a little sidestep there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We just saw that in Job. I'm going to look back in that. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. He's doing the same thing here. We're told that those things that are written aforetime are for our learning. Do you know these scriptures, that what Peter has written about, saying, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour? Do you know that is instruction for us today? That's something that was written aforetime for our learning. The Lord can let that hedge down if he so chooses. Let's go back to 1 Peter and look in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, Job had to do some suffering, and you can go read about Job. I'm not going to read all that today. But Job had to go through some trials. And you know what? His wife at one point tries to get him to curse God, and he never would. He never would. He just kept doing all he knew to do, going to the Lord. And at the end of Job, he gets everything more so restored back to him. But that man was tried. And it began when God let down that hedge just a little bit. I share all that. I preface telling you those things because it talks about how by the things that we go through, by the things we suffer, that we learn obedience. Let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You know, you're going to be taught however the Lord chooses. If that means that hedge gets let down a little bit to get you on the straight and narrow, then it's going to be let down. And the thing is, you keep coming back to what you know. You keep coming back to the Lord Jesus. You keep coming back to the Father in heaven. You keep coming back to that gospel that we read in Colossians, where it said to not move away from the hope of the gospel. God is not out to get you. God is not out to get me. And it may feel like that sometimes. But you know what in Job, what happened with Job? That was for Job's perfection. And it's part of our walk. You know, that's why it's important to be in the will of God. If an attack comes because you were obeying God, you know what? There's a little more confidence with that. But if you know you're out messing around and an attack comes, you kind of got to sit there and wonder, well, did I let something in because I wasn't believing? Or is this just some affliction because I am believing and the devil's just trying to get after me? You know, that's stuff that we consider in our house. When something goes wrong in this house, something happens in our lives, we consider, are we obeying God and we're just getting a little afflicted? Or are we in some disobedience somewhere and we've let the door open because we got out of the will of God? Either side of that, there's still only one answer, and that is coming back to the gospel. That is coming back to not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, I'll share this testimony with you. Early on, when I had been married for some time to Anthony, you know, I kind of liked having my way with things, and I kind of liked doing what I wanted to do. You know, he was responsible for me. I mean, he was the head of the house, and I know sometimes that makes people crazy because they're a woman and nobody's going to tell me what to do, but I didn't come up with that. That's in the scriptures. He is responsible for you. That man is responsible for you. And so, you know what? If I was out just doing whatever, Anthony at some point was going to have to answer for me. And yes, I was responsible for what I would be off doing, but ultimately he has a responsibility
for me too, and he would have to answer to the Lord when that day came about why he let me go off and do this, this, and this when he knew it wasn't God. If I was wanting to do something, whatever that was, didn't necessarily mean go anywhere, but whatever that was. And if he had the mind of God on it and was like, Misty, I don't know about that. Sometimes I wasn't always in agreement with him. Most of the time, I wasn't always in agreement with him. The things I do today, the things I share with you today, God's changed my heart a lot. But there was a time when I wasn't always in agreement with that man, and I could fight to the very end trying to get my way. I would just do that. If I didn't like something, I had something to say. I could complain. I could murmur. I could have a fit. I could pout. Whatever it was, thinking that if I did that, I could get my way. He might change his mind. That wasn't me obeying God at all. If the devil's out here going to the Lord saying, what about Misty? Or if the Lord's saying, have you considered Misty? You know what? And God wants to let that hedge down a little bit to teach me some things, to walk me through some things. Well, he was going to do it. And that's really what ended up happening. That went on and on and on. And finally, it was like one day God just said, that is enough. And what happened was I would start opening my mouth to shoot off something out of my mouth that wasn't right. I would get physically attacked with something. One of the last times that that happened, I didn't agree with something and I shot it off my mouth. Something came out of my mouth that wasn't God. And immediately something hit my stomach and I got sick and I was in some pain. And that got my attention because I knew it was like God opened my eyes and I knew that I had opened my mouth one too many times and I have yielded my members. It talks about yielding your members as weapons of unrighteousness, as weapons unto sin. I think we've talked about that on here some. Well, that's what I was doing. I didn't get that hedge let down because I was in the will of God and just got some affliction. Oh, I got some affliction, but that hedge was getting let down because Misty needed to be corrected. And if that needed correction needed to come this way to get her eyes on the Lord, well, it was going to come that way. That got my attention. And you know what? I purposed that day I would keep my mouth shut. If I didn't like it, that I would endeavor where I was to pray, to go to the Lord about it. That's what I began doing. I just began keeping my mouth shut. I wasn't perfected that day, and I didn't have all that worked out that day. So we go through things again, whatever, whenever the next situation comes up. And so one day, a situation came up again that I didn't really agree with and I didn't really like, but I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say a word. I didn't gripe and complain and moan about it. So that might be a good thing, you might think. But you know what I did? In my heart, I was sitting there and I was just railing on everything I didn't like about what was said, everything I didn't like about that decision, everything that I disagreed with. I just sat there in my heart, didn't say a word, did not say a word. But within my thought processes, I was just letting Anthony have it. And I was actually in the shower when this was happening. I was just on and on and on within my heart, griping about how much I disagreed with whatever the situation was. And no sooner than all that got going, we had a big round, it was pretty good size, shower head. And as soon as my heart got going and I'm just letting him have it, my heart, but nothing's coming out of my mouth, that shower head flies off and hits me in the back of the head. And I think my eyes got bug-eyed because I realized, oh my gosh, I know the Lord heard me. And that may seem so ridiculous, but when you've been where I was and you watched things come out of your mouth and you watch when you were doing stuff and immediately something would hit you, it put some believing in my heart that, you know what? The Lord hears everything. Everything. So I didn't have to open my mouth. That got corrected. It got corrected because I started shutting it. But then we had to move on to the next thing because I started doing the same thing within my heart. Well, God had to correct that. So I would learn to not be doing that in my heart, that I would learn to come to the Lord Jesus.
that I would learn to go to the Father in heaven, that I would learn to set my heart on the gospel and believe and trust the Lord. That's what he was trying to get me, funnel me in to get me on that path. And you know what? That was years ago that happened. And he's done a lot of correcting. I mean, here we are in 2015. There's been a lot of correction from the Lord, but that's part of it. That's part of the walk if we are to learn and walk with Jesus. You know, I want to look at Psalm 94, talking about the Lord, that he hears you. You know, that can kind of be a scary place when you're on the wrong side of that, but I've come over the years to be so comforted when I know the thoughts in my heart now, or whatever comes up in my heart, and the Lord hears me, and the Lord encourages me that, Misty, I hear you. Psalm 94, verse 9, it says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? And he that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know?" Let's look at Psalm 139, verse 23. And here's where I kind of want to end. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I would like to close today with this song. It's by one of the ministers of music here at Water of Life, and her name is Terry Brown, and she is ministering in song, "God on the Mountain," and I will be back to close.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. Comes so easy. Life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptation. That's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the talk of faith when you're up on your mountain and your talk comes so easy. Life's at its best, but it's down in that valley of trials and temptation. That's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain, he's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. your God in your night.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to talking to you again next week. If you would like to write or email me to share some things that God is doing in your life, or maybe you've heard this gospel for the first time and you have believed on the Lord Jesus, you may also email me. And in the closing, you will find the information on how to do that. Until next time, we will see you again next week. God bless. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at MistyReeseWaterOfLife@gmail.com. That's MistyReese, WaterOfLife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.